I present the prophet of the Almighty Baller.
Almighty Baller fans, I'm here today with a couple of guys from NBA Lead. I'm happy to have met them and interacted with them. I was talking with them before we started recording. They seem like cool guys, and it seems like a cool vision. So, first off the bat, running the whole show is Manny. Manny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm great. I got up episode 55, so, you know, I'm assuming that whoever's listening to this has already listened to it, but hey, if you haven't, it's a great series. So Manny, tell me a little bit about your website. Tell the listeners a little bit about what you guys want to do going forward and what you're trying to achieve.
All right. So NBA Lead is pretty much creating a media source just covering the NBA stuff. We're not affiliated with the NBA, but we are covering the whole entire league from coast to coast. And with this website we're doing, we're trying to bring content that's different from your normal NBA.coms, your ESPN.coms, your Real GMs, your SB Nations, and Bleacher Reports. They pretty much, you know, post all the trendings that are pretty much hot, which we do in, you know, some sort of ways. But we like to bring content, you know, that are debatable and content that fans would rather, I don't want to say would rather read than other stuff that's trending around, but stuff that's real, you know, that gets down to the meat and topics where fans can, you know, argue and post up themselves and debate on topics, you know, for hours. And
yeah,
we kind of want to bring topics that ESPN and such undershadow.
I'm also here today with John Gavin. John, just really quick, describe your role with the website, what you're doing, what you've done so far, maybe some of what you want to do going forward.
Sure. Gotcha. Well, as of now, you know, I'm a marketer for NBA Lead, you know, and my main job is to get this great vision, this great project we have off the ground. And so far, we've been able to make some connections with some good companies, some good sponsors. And one of them was you.
Yeah.
So, right. So, you know, pretty much making these connections, introducing this idea around, contacting different companies to see what we can get going in terms of promotion. You know, talking a lot of basketball because at the end of the day, that's why we're all here.
Yeah. So you guys are primarily based out of Chicago, or you just happen to be Bulls fans? Because today, by the way, listeners, we're talking about the Chicago Bulls.
Well, at least when I speak for myself, I could say I'm a Bulls fan. I'm from Chicago area, right north of Evanston. I've been a Bulls fan from birth, you know. All I know is red and black. And Derrick Rose, obviously, favorite player. Jimmy Butler, second from Marquette. I can't really speak for Manny because he's from Milwaukee.
Right.
But I
saw last night cruising your Facebook page that you were giving out cups or pitchers or something like that. Yeah, it looked a little bit like something you might find in one of our sponsors. Well, one of my sponsors, it's my impression that it's soon to be one of your sponsors too, FanEssentials.net, which is a company that gives out fan-related products for your favorite NBA team. And hey, go ahead, jump on board, use promo code Almighty, A-L-M-I-G-H-T-Y, to get 30% off your first month. So we'll wrap back around to the website at the end, and you guys can sort of talk about what you're doing social media-wise, promotionally, where you want listeners to go and check in. But just before we get rolling with some Chicago Bulls talk, is there anything more you want to say or express about your site or what you're doing or what you're excited about going forward?
Sure. Right now with NBA Lead, this is just the tip of the iceberg that we have launched already. We've launched since January. We've been up for about 9 weeks now. We've seen some big rapid growth. But the base of our vision is not just a website. We actually are working on building a digital platform. So we want to be one of the first NBA sites that are 100% digital platforms, showcasing content, topics from coast to coast, having, you know, coverage, our own analysts bring coverage, our own host, our own graphics and music. We're just trying to bring the meat out of the NBA for fans to enjoy. And pretty much, I don't want to say we're the anti-ESPN, but we feel that we can bring something different and integrate that fans would love and love from a different point of view when it comes to NBA lead and our coverage. But like I said, we're going
full. Well, you can't say that you're the anti-ESPN. Bill Simmons already has that unlocked.
Right, right. So there's a lot of topics that ESPN loves to put out there, and your common NBA fan loves to disagree. And we kind of want to, you know, stand behind the stuff, like I said, that they undershadow. Like, you know, the Kobe Bryant farewell tour. We're wondering if they'll probably even do it for Tim Duncan, which I doubt it, since the Spurs are not a marketable team and ESPN doesn't really like to cover that. But
nothing.
I mean, I could argue with you right now that Tim Duncan probably had a better career than Kobe Bryant, and ESPN would probably make you think that Kobe Bryant by far is way better.
The better
than
question is, could you make the argument that Tim Duncan didn't have a better career than Kobe Bryant? Because to me,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, to me, that's a bit difficult. But yeah, I definitely get what you're saying. It is a little bit frustrating. And it's interesting because you're saying that you're an all digital media, all internet product, which is sort of inherently the medium is the source of this problem. There's a lot of emphasis put on articles like the whole TMZ D'Angelo thing or the whole Woj bomb sources say rumor mill, the whole clickbait style NBA articles rather than in-depth, meaty, valid analysis. It seems to, right now anyways, be the trend that, especially since, speaking of Bill Simmons, Grantland tragically broke down. It's hard to find really non-intentionally inflammatory, non-over-the-top, or speculative reporting.
I guess, what you're saying is it's hard not to be Hollywood with a Hollywood team.
Right, right. And I mean, there's a degree to which it's entertainment, you know, it's sports, right? But you mentioned Hollywood. There is, if you want to go out and watch Transformers or, Avatar, or something like that. If you want to go out and do that, you know, one, there's an issue with that inherently. A lot of those movies are really quality films. Right. But also, if you want to enjoy the medium of film from a more nuanced perspective, there's that available too. I'm probably more of a niche market, at least with my writing and stuff. But it seems like you guys are trying to tap that middle potential where there's simultaneously news and analysis that people want to know, but also more nuanced stuff than, oh my God, you know, is Derrick Rose going to get traded this offseason to the Sacramento Kings or some bullshit like
right,
that?
Right, yeah. So we're trying to just open up the average fan's mind where they pretty much love to believe everything ESPN throws at them or Fox Sports or, you know, things of that nature, where we kind of want to expose the actual meat where, you know, the basketball guy pretty much give them knowledge that they don't have and kind of open up their eyes and in the regards of, hey, the Warriors are vulnerable. We've been noticing it since the All-Star break while you guys are over here praising them. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of giving them, like, hey, in reality, they can be beat, and this is the formula, and we're pretty much going to show you exactly what we're talking about from our views and, you know, from our analysts and from our sources as well, where, you know, something like an ESPN would create them to be unbeatable or something of that nature. So, yeah, we kind of want to...
So the anti-narrative.
Right, right. So it's not that we want to be anti-ESPN or anything like that, but we want to just talk real with the average fan. We just want to say, hey, this is the real deal, and we're not buying everything, you know, everybody else is saying, and we're just trying to put a good product out there, like I said, that can be very debatable to the unbiased people and the bias as well, and just kind of bring a new, fresh aspect to the whole media world regarding sports and, in particular, the NBA.
Yeah. Well, I wish you guys the best of luck. John and Manny, you guys are both integral parts of what you guys are doing over at NBALead.com. It sounds like both of our sites are, in our own different ways, trying to achieve the same thing. So, right. Listeners, go ahead, check out NBALead.com. Like them on Facebook at, I think it was The Lead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Right, but if you go to their page, you'll see it's NBA Lead. They've got the logo and everything. And just really quick, before we get started on some Chicago Bulls stuff, what's your Twitter?
Our Twitter handle is at NBA Lead, so it's the same as the website, at NBA Lead. It's real easy to follow and find, and we have a lot of stuff that's trending, and I think a lot of stuff that, you know, fans would love to see and share with other friends. So make sure to follow us at NBA Lead.
Yep. And also on Twitter and Facebook, I'll make sure to link to their pages and Twitter accounts with each of my podcast releases. So, Manny, I think you said you're the one from Milwaukee?
Yeah, yeah, I'm from the Milwaukee area. It's about 25 minutes away from Milwaukee, and I'm about 50 minutes away from Chicago. So I'm stuck right in the middle of both worlds. You know, one highway connects both, so
yeah.
I go either or. So I get newsworthy stuff from both teams, so I'm your guy.
Yes. So Man, this Red Bull. Ugh, God.
Stephen, my... Is he wings?
No. So, both of you guys, it's my impression, right? And each fan base has their own ethos. Each fan base has their own expectations going into the season, realistic or unrealistic. But before we talk about that realism aspect to it, what did each of you two, as a fan and just as a close bystander, will say, what were both of y'all's, what were both of your expectations about this specific Chicago Bulls team going into the season?
You can go ahead, John. You can go first.
John, John, let's, yeah, well, yeah.
Let me just be the first to jump on that. This team should have been a championship caliber team from the beginning. This coach obviously, you know, did not have what it takes to get it going. And I think the first thing we need to do in this offseason is address the problem, which is the coach. You cut off the head of the serpent to keep it from coming back. And then you go farther up, you know, the GM. You know, and it's great that Reinsdorf is in the Hall of Fame, but I think there's a big problem in the management.
Yeah, I would think that Gar Forman is the head of that snake, right?
Right. Yes. You know, it starts with him. I feel like as soon as Gar Forman leaves, we can start getting a fresh look. You know, maybe actually make some moves at the trade deadline this season. You know, develop the team to a point where they actually can compete with the likes of the Cavaliers. And overall, I'm just very disappointed with how the attitude of this team has evolved, how the play of this team has frankly decreased, and how stars who should be flourishing, you know, are now also decreasing. We have Powell maybe looking at more money next year. You know, we're going to sign him up for more mediocrity. And overall, I'm just very disappointed, very concerned. It's a train wreck.
Yeah, it increasingly is looking that way. You know, this is fun. Waking up in the morning, going out to your front doorstep, and seeing a box from FanEssentials.net.
Oh, it's the most fun, especially knowing that you only pay $14.99 or maybe $34.99 a month, but less if you use the promo code ALMIGHTY at checkout.
Oliver, are you wearing socks? Because if you're wearing socks, I need you to remove them right now because I'm about to knock your socks off.
Okay, I am removing my socks.
FanEssentials.net is going to get your favorite team, right? You're in Portland, you like the Trailblazers, Dame is tearing it up, they're going to take your favorite team. They're going to put together all the coolest gear, all the coolest merchandise, all the coolest stuff, put in a box, send it to you, and every month, you open your door and you're like, wow, what a bunch of cool stuff. And I already know this because they sent me a little box because they wanted to sponsor me. Good move, by the way. It's a great podcast. And I can tell you, I'm using my little key lanyard. I wear the sport jacket combo with this Thunder t-shirt that's really cool. I got a cool card decal. And that was just the rookie package. That's for $14.99. So, hey.
Wow, wow. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. I am definitely intrigued by this. I'm going to have to order one and see what's going on. But my question would be, if I order a Golden State one, does it come with Durant stuff?
Well, that's a great question. And hey, why not find out by using discount code ALMIGHTY, ALMIGHTY, there's only one L. If you can't remember the way that you spell ALMIGHTY, just look at the name of this podcast, you dummy.
And if you enter the code, you get 30% off your first month at FanEssentials.net.
And if you order now, I like that, you know?
We get sweet kickback. Support the podcast. Go to FanEssentials.net, please.
Okay, all right. I thought that was well executed.
Great ad.
Yeah, no, I thought that was great.
Yeah, well, sorry about the dogs there.
Yeah, the dogs are not included in the package.
Cool.
But just to touch on that GM subject really quick before I have Manny jump in and answer, we earlier on the podcast on other episodes have talked about what types of ownerships are the best, and to me, split into three categories. In general, the best type of owner is the one who will leave it to the professionals. As far as day-to-day maintenance and operation,
right.
Popovich is running the show, right?
Right?
Or in Detroit, Stan Van Gundy has the reins, right?
Right, and then, he is the face, you know. He is the face of that organization. The thing is, the Bulls do not have a face right now. They have four.
And then the second best or the second worst, you know, depending on whether you're glass two-thirds empty or two-thirds full or whatever, is the Mark Cuban type who does meddle, but he's a pseudo-professional and sort of knows what he's doing, right? That can work, right?
Right.
And then the worst is Rana Dive, which is the owner who doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about, right? And medals in basketball operations. Yeah. And the Bulls are in this interesting, or maybe not interesting, in this lamentable position, right? Where it's not necessarily that the Bulls ownership is trying to interfere with basketball operations, but by holding the purse strings in a certain way, by not really letting the GM or whatever GM should be leading the organization come to them and say, this is how much money we need to spend. I know it's a lot, but this is just how it's got to be if we're going to contend with a team like Cleveland, who's spending $150 million on their roster this year. You are limiting the basketball side of things by not really fully giving liberty to a GM to do that. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Right, absolutely. You know, to all your points, I think that this management is kind of in half of a limbo. We have a manager who doesn't really take action when it's needed, and we also have a manager who's not very involved in terms of, you know, being active with the team. So, to your point, once all those things are addressed, you know, the only way to go is up.
Yeah, so, Manny, from the inside looking out, you know, I'd like to think that I'm a realist, if not a bit of a wonky type of real... I'm a realist, but my perspective on reality is maybe a little bit interesting. But, you know, I'm in Texas, I'm in Austin, Texas, and I'm pretty far removed from the Chicago fan base. And personally, I wasn't really all that high on the Chicago Bulls team. I know a lot of people who were, but I wasn't really sold on them going into the league. I wasn't sold on a lot of the decisions they made in the offseason. What about you? As someone who is privy to the groupthink, who is around people who are like, yeah, this Bulls team is going to kick ass, but isn't personally emotionally invested, what did you think was going to happen this season?
Well, the very second, to be honest with you, the very second I found out they fired Tom Thibodeau, I kind of figured, you know, this group doesn't know what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, I listen to, you know, Chicago sports radio stations pretty much every day on my way to work, and, you know, I disagree with a lot of stuff they say. You know, like John said that he believed they were supposed to be a championship contender team, where I was thinking they're bringing a new coach, you know, from college, first of all. Has no experience in coaching stars like a Derrick Rose or a Butler or a Gasol or anything like that, and they just kind of threw this guy in the fire and said, hey, this is where we were last year. We need you to do better. Right off the bat, I kind of figured, you know what? Firing Tom Thibodeau was probably the worst thing they could have done if they wanted to get even near closer to a championship. I mean, they were pretty close with him. He was obviously not the problem. You know, so right away I figured this team is going backwards. They're not moving forward. Not firing Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
This team is not getting better with Fred Hoiberg. I'm not trying to bash Fred Hoiberg. He's an awesome coach. He did wonderful things at Iowa State.
He's an awesome college coach.
Yeah. No disregards to him, but come on, man. I mean, you expect a new coach from college to come in and have them contend for a championship with a team like Cleveland in front of them, and you know, up-and-coming teams like Boston, and even Detroit was creeping up behind them. They were getting better in the offseason. And to me, the Bulls didn't really add any kind of free agency in the first place. They thought it was pure coaching, where Tom Thibodeau, to me, is probably a top five coach in the league.
Right. The trap, the pitfall that the Bulls fell into was a similar pitfall that the Wizards fell into and the Pelicans fell into, where they saw the Golden State model. Okay, you know, with the Pelicans, they got a new coach, right? They hired Alvin Gentry, right? And in Washington, they implemented a new system, but it was that small ball, fast-paced system when, you know, maybe hindsight is 20/20, but it seems readily apparent that their roster is constructed in such a way that simply isn't the way to do things. And I think it's somewhat, you know, like I said, self-apparent that the way that the Chicago Bulls are constructed, stylistically, sort of a gritty, you know, I've heard the word blue collar thrown around with the Chicago Bulls a lot because of the whole Chicago ethos, you know, defensive, and then just sort of pounded in the basket. That style has led to some success for the team. And to me, it seems like, hell, that's exactly what the Spurs are doing this year. And it looks like they might be the team that's going to have a perfect home record because, unfortunately for the Warriors, that isn't in the cards anymore. So, John, you said that you had expectations about this team going forward, the championship contention thing. I guess my question for you is, did you more so than last year think that in the years in the past, let's start with Derrick Rose. Was he 2010, 2011? I don't remember what year his draft was. 2010?
2010, yeah, 11. The MVP year was great. That one year was prime.
Yeah. So starting then, over the last 5 years, where would you put your championship hopes in terms of, okay, well, I thought in the 2011-2012 season that was really going to be the year. So that's number one. But this season was number two. I really thought it was a possibility. How optimistic were you compared to, you know, these other iterations of the Bulls under Tom Thibodeau?
You know, under Tom Thibodeau, the biggest difference was that I knew we could hold down defense and hold down the fort coming down the stretch. With this new team, with every possible inconsistency available that they've had, I have no confidence in this team's defense. The scoring is spotty at best. But Tom Thibodeau's team had an identity, and they had a mission every night, and that was play hard defense, get it done on both sides of the ball, and, you know, create more opportunities with smart looks. Fred Hoiberg looks like he's lost. It took a man like Tom Thibodeau to get this team to respond in the way that they needed to, as opposed to Fred Hoiberg, who kind of seems like, you know, the Mark Trestman of basketball. And I pretty much, you
So if that is a other sports reference, I'm pure basketball, so that went over my head.
I'm just referencing the similar attitude, I guess, that Mark Trestman had with the Bears. You know, he was just kind of too calm and laid back to really connect with the players and ignite fire under them. So, you know, his term of 2 years was over very quickly. And if Fred Hoiberg does not change that as well, I could see that happening too.
Yeah, so you use this word identity. Or lack thereof, right. I think that word in particular has been thrown around a lot this season, actually. And one of the ways in particular that that identity has been lost is that in the past, you know, this season has been bad injury-wise, and there's a whole discussion you could have about why that is.
Right.
But I don't think that by any means this has been their worst season injury-wise. You know,
no.
You've had Jimmy Butler for, what, like 55, 60 games, and you've had Derrick Rose for, you know, 55, 60 games. That's a lot more than a lot of the seasons in the past.
Right.
But what you saw in the past, right, is that this team had this uncanny ability to just will themselves to victory, right? And there's a lot of reasons, there's a lot of explanations, but ultimately they're excuses because we've seen in the past that you can get it done. It doesn't matter that there's injuries. You know, even though LeBron didn't quote-unquote get it done in the finals last year, you know, I mean, like, they were throwing out a D-League plus LeBron, and he took it to six games.
Right.
And the players on the bench have talked about how this identity is lost. So how much of that do you think is because of fissures within the locker room? Where did those fissures come from? Is it all stemming from this loss of Thibodeau? Was Thibodeau this ironclad backbone that was holding up this team's spirit and will? Or was it simply a, hey, everyone's happy when they're winning, and Tom Thibodeau was so much so a better coach that he could make this team win regardless of how much talent is on the bench at any given point?
You know, I think you said it best. The word you used was willpower and will. And Tom Thibodeau gave this team the willpower pretty much to do anything. You know, they beat teams they weren't supposed to beat. They almost took out the Cavs in playoffs, and they were shorthanded. It was a team that had no excuses and nothing to lose, and they still found a way to almost get it done. That being said, the injuries have taken a definite toll this year, and it's kind of hard to see a first-year coach deal with all that. You know, talk about Steve Kerr in his first year. The injuries on his team were very, I guess, not so much limited, but they weren't as drastic as the ones that the Bulls are experiencing. So for that, I give Fred Hoiberg credit for doing as well as he has experiencing these injuries, you know, playing the right players, actually playing the bench. But to your point, Tom Thibodeau was absolutely the backbone of this team. You know, he might not have been the championship coach we needed. He is definitely the best coach we've had since Phil Jackson. But nevertheless, he was the backbone of this team. And if you take the backbone out of somebody, you know, they're just going to collapse. And that's pretty much what just kind of happened. You know, the Bulls wanted to fall back on Joakim Noah for energy. And all of a sudden, he's out. There's just no energy left.
Well, you know, you take the backbone out of somebody, they're going to die. So.
right.
And again, just another perspective from sort of the middle ground between me, far away, you, a fan, Manny, you're, I don't know, the mediator, the Switzerland in this. Manny, is this team dead?
You know, to tell you the truth, I'm going to say something I said about 2 years ago. You know, the Bulls, I'm not trying to sound, I don't want to upset the Bulls fans or anything like that, but the honest truth is it's time to move on. I've always said that. They got to move on from Derrick Rose, man. I mean, if that's going to be your leader you're going to rely on, it's not going to happen. Derrick Rose is not Derrick Rose that we are, you know, used to seeing, the high flyer. He's not a leader. The real leader was always Joakim Noah, and he's already gone downhill. Jimmy Butler has been cancerous in the locker room for some reason. I had no idea where that came from. You know, with his background being a hard worker and always had something to prove, and all of a sudden now he's a diva. This team, you know, has to start over. For me,
Well, okay, so I'm sorry to interrupt. But, you know, we were talking about there's this ESPN narrative, right? And a lot of the reporters that are quote-unquote insiders are insiders because the organization will let them in the locker room. The players right. aren't deciding who gets credentials, the ownership is, right?
Right.
And the ownership has a lot invested in this narrative that, hey, this isn't our fault, or rather, it isn't Fred Hoiberg's fault, because if it's Fred Hoiberg's fault, it means it's our fault because we hired him.
Right.
So it's somebody else's fault, right? It's Jimmy Butler's fault.
Right.
You know, it's him, right?
Right.
And I think you have to look at that with a skeptical eye because, like you said, I mean, Jimmy Butler, throughout like his entire life and his entire career, has been a high character, just good guy, commendable guy, right?
Right.
And whenever there's this, you know, about face, like, okay, Jimmy Butler, hey guys, actually, he's not a cool guy. You have to think to yourself, okay, why is that the case? And I would argue that probably he, you know, isn't a problem. Probably that's, you know, that's just the blame game. And the reporters who are getting into the locker room are the ones who will push the party line, so to speak.
Right.
But, John, you mentioned earlier that Derrick Rose is your favorite player. So how do you respond to what Manning was saying about, you know, I was actually just about to ask him what exactly he meant by, okay, we need to move on. And he went ahead and offered that answer without me prompting him.
Right.
The Bulls need to move on from Derrick Rose. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, coming from a LeBron fan, it's not very surprising. Let me just first say that.
The second yeah, screw you, Manny.
Come on now, we know where your loyalties lie.
I'm just kidding.
The truth hurts. You know, the truth hurts.
The truth hurts. All right. Well, let me just say that I think Derrick Rose has been playing great recently. You know, he will never be the leader that the Bulls wanted him to be. He's not vocal. He's not, you know, out front. He's not outgoing. He's very quiet. He's very humble. And he's not going to be that leader that the Bulls need. Jimmy Butler may be that guy, you know? If he keeps his mouth shut talking to the media so much, that would probably help this situation out.
I mean, but, you know, quiet, humble, stoic, that describes Tim Duncan too, and Kawhi.
Right, and they were both great leaders, and they lead with their skill. But the thing is, Popovich is the leader of that team, and no one questions that. And when it comes to on
the
court,
emotional soul.
Right, absolutely.
The Draymond Green.
Absolutely. The Joakim Noah, the Jimmy Butler. There's emotion within these players that Derrick Rose just simply does not put on the court. And that's honestly the only thing that I wanted to see him work on at this point. He needs to step up, be that vocal leader. He needs to be that guy that guys can look to in the crunch time situation without him just being stoic and quiet and reserved and, you know, kind of unresponsive in a way.
So in between his ice baths and stuff, you know, in his training sessions, trying to, you know, work with his legs and his ankles and his knees, he needs to be seeing a sports therapist.
You know, he just needs to be more active within the team. I think that guys realize at this point that Derrick Rose is never going to be their leader. He's always just going to be the best point guard on the team or the best point guard, you know, that's available at the moment. And that's, you know, my other point is who are we going to replace Derrick Rose with if we decide to part ways suddenly? There are a couple good options, but as of
Aaron Brooks.
Sorry?
Aaron Brooks.
Oh, Aaron
right, but
Brooks.
Easy.
Right, but answer me this really quick. Would you rather be in this middle, nasty area of the NBA like the Bulls, or would you rather just get rid of him and start over? Being in the middle is not a good place to be, and I feel the Bulls are in the middle with the Derrick Rose leading that team.
I don't think it's because of Derrick Rose that we're in the middle. I think he's doing what he needs to do. Over this streak where Jimmy Butler was injured with his leg, he was the only one who came to play basketball every night. He was the only one that would score consistently. You know, he's a great facilitator. And, you know, that's arguably one of Jimmy's biggest faults is being a facilitator. You know, he's king of the 3 seconds, 2 seconds left in the shot clock, pass it off, get an assist kind of thing. But Derrick Rose, you know, Derrick Rose runs this team. Derrick Rose understands the system. Derrick Rose can facilitate the offense. I don't believe that the Bulls' problems are related to Derrick Rose. And I can finally say that. It feels really good to say that.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I sense by your tone you're hesitant to agree with me.
I am actually hesitant to agree with you. It's not even that I'm hesitated to, like, lay down the law because, you know, in a rare circumstance, I'm prone to the hot takes, right? And I know that you're not a big fan of the whole ESPN hot take, but the difference between my hot takes and Skip Bayless's hot takes is that I'm typically right. So this is one of those situations where I don't have a hot take. I think that this is a legitimate quandary. On one hand, I sort of disagree with Manny that being in the middle is a bad place to be, because being in the middle means that you're only a piece or two away from contending, right? And if you're at the bottom of the heap, you're not there. You need to have this prolonged rebuilding period. But on the other hand, I'm not sure if Derrick Rose is actually having this resurgent year. Because you guys know David Locke?
Yes, actually.
David Locke.
Track and stock.
Yeah, Locke, out of Utah. He's a reporter and analyst guy. Mm-hmm. He's got this...
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, Locked On Basketball. Real smart guy. And he's got this offensive metric, PAC, or maybe it's just PAAC, points above average created, right? And basically, it's trying to be a catch-all offensive stat at any given position about... how much more efficient is this player making his team by just being existing, by just playing his minutes? How much more efficient is his offense than the average player? And Derrick Rose is, for the season, in the bottom 10. He's actually bottom 5. So that's a little bit problematic, right?
Right. So back to that concern, and back to John's, you know, thing about him being not replaceable. I'm just going to throw you out some numbers here because I love to pull up numbers. And two of the numbers are 16 points. That's pretty much what he's averaging. And under 5 assists. I'm pretty sure we can find someone to replace that. It's just the name Derrick Rose that is unreplaceable, I think. You know, instead of the actual, like how you said, being productive. I mean, we can put... I'm pretty sure we can find somebody to average those numbers, but I understand, you know, Derrick Rose is from Chicago, he's the face of the franchise and all this kind of stuff, but 16 points, under 5 assists, I don't know. I mean, take whatever you want with that, but for
me... Well, interestingly enough, I think that this offseason in particular... that is pretty much irreplaceable because Mike Conley is going to go back to the Grizzlies. And if he doesn't go back to the Grizzlies, I think that we can all agree that he's probably not going to the Bulls.
Right.
And
agreed.
Yeah, after Mike Conley, there's not even good replacement level point guards. So at least for this coming season, right. Derrick Rose seems to be the best option. But
I believe his contract is up after next year as well.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's a completely different story when his contract comes up because,
right.
you know, he is kind of a pig-headed player.
Right.
He will ask for a max contract. I know Derrick Rose, and up until this point, you know, he wants the money. He was quoted at a press conference saying how, you know, the big TV deal is coming up, and, you know, he's licking his chops at how that money's being passed around. You know, basketball,
right.
really.
Oh, I thought you were saying that he's like a family friend. You talked to him at your last barbecue.
Oh, yeah, I just spoke with, yeah, you know.
Yeah, but it's my impression that you're right.
You know, my original point was next year, this guard is irreplaceable. The year after that, you know, it's free agency. The contract's up. Let's absolutely go in a new direction. But if he doesn't ask for that max contract, I'd love to see Derrick Rose still be a member of the Chicago Bulls.
Manny, what do you think about this? Actually, I'm going to start with Manny, right? But then, John, I want you to answer the same question. What do you think about a compromise here? What do you think about meeting in the middle? What do you think about, okay, let's stick with some vague iteration of this core, coaching-wise and roster-wise, and give another crack at it? You know, Derrick Rose has improved a lot this season. I will definitely grant you that. And perhaps most enticingly, he has started to show flashes of that Derrick Rose that... I mean, it's funny how short people's memory is. I remember last year when Kevin Durant was sitting at the end of the season and Russell Westbrook was just going ham on the league. People were like, oh man, we've never seen this level of athleticism and this level of finishing before. We have seen it. It was Derrick Rose.
Right.
And mm-hmm. every once in a while, he's starting to look like that. Of course, every once in a while isn't going to cut it, but... what do you think about this idea of, okay, let's give it one more year? And again, Manny, this is directed towards you at first and then John. What do you think about giving this core one more year? And if it shows some improvement, if it shows some promise, then, you know, maybe we run with it. And if it doesn't, you know, trash it.
Well, I mean, I go into the offseason thinking that Derrick Rose is my point guard, you know, for the year coming up. They do have a core that is functionable for at least another year with Pau Gasol and Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose. If they could somehow...
Well, they have a core that's functional, but I'm not sure it's Pau. I think it's Miritich.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think he's a free agent as well. So, I mean, he's still up in the air. But, you know, the hope in Chicago is always if this team can stay healthy. That's the big question. Derrick Rose, he seems he can stay healthy. This year he's been healthy for the most part, and he gives you his spurts and, you know, flashes of his old self. I would be willing to give it another shot just because how you guys said, you know, I think the only guy that's out there that would, you know, replace him in that caliber would be Mike Conley, and he's not coming to Chicago. So, I mean, there's really no other option. So I guess you can say they're pretty much stuck with Derrick Rose. So, I mean, in this point, there's really no other choice but to stick with him going into his final year of the contract. And it's not like he's a terrible player. It's just, I think if the Bulls wanted to actually make a serious run, serious change, and just a kind of a franchise-type change, I mean, they have to go a different direction, you know, in the future coming up. So, I mean, we can give it another shot. You know, if I was running GM role, I'd definitely give it another shot. And just kind of go into the season next year with an open mind of he's on the market, you know. I mean, his contract's coming up. To me, he's personally not a max contract type player anymore. But his mind is probably going to...
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And I mean, next year would be kind of his showcasing year where he's trying to prove to the Bulls, hey, look, I'm still worthy of this money. He might have a great year and or he might not. So, I mean, it's kind of a gamble right now, but I'm going to lead towards more we have to keep him here. So it's kind of like if we're stuck to keep him because there's just no one else out there right now. So I'd move forward with Derrick Rose.
Well, yeah.
Okay, John, what about you? What do you think about that? And also, on top of that, give me your thoughts on that question that Manny just answered. But on top of that, factor coaching into the equation.
Yeah.
Is it a good idea to stick with Fred Hoiberg for another year? I'm not sure about that. What do you think?
Right.
Well,